scale me up, Scotty. Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call them cupcakes. And it's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a value of roses, dandy to know the man. JPAZ, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode number 162. I am your host, John Paul Hurley. Joining me this week, co-host Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh of Fantasy. What's up, man?
What up? What's going on?
Got to make another trade before Sunday, hey?
Hey, yeah, can't wait.
Can't wait. I'm going to frost my opponents like cupcakes.
I think so.
Is that the lyric? I'm going to have to Google the lyrics for our song.
It's on Shazam.
Shazam it. Oh, I'll Shazam it for sure. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
So this week we're going to talk about the penny. This is like a running back podcast, right, Mo? Is that what we decided?
That's it. Uh-huh.
This is the really racy running back podcast. The triple RB. We're going to talk about the Penny Carson split. That's kind of been interesting this week.
Can we title this Penny for Your Thoughts?
Penny for Your Thoughts. I like that. Yep. That's very good. We're going to talk about running backs whose jobs could be at risk come season's end, or maybe sooner, right? Last week we did a wide receiver rookie re-rank, and this week we're going to do a rookie running back re-rank. So we're going to talk about the outside of Josh Jacobs, because that's a gimme. Who would be our next like four or five running backs that we would rank in order for the rookies? And then we're going to do an all running back dynasty trade wars starring Jonathan Mosher. So let's get to it. The penny for your thoughts, Izzy. I really like that a lot. So I'm going to kick it off for you. Rashad Penny blew up this week. Maybe it was just me, and maybe it was like me watching all the games on my phone. I've got access to Red Zone on my phone and not on my TV, but I was watching some of the games, and Rashad Penny, although blew up, he kind of looked a little bit more around than he normally does. Was that just me, or did you see the same thing?
Maybe you were watching on a tube TV?
Yeah, a widescreen tube TV. They made a lot of those.
Mm.
No, they didn't. Mm. So Rashad Penny kind of blows up. Does this make you rethink Chris Carson's share in this offense at running back?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is how many times have I brought this up on the podcast?
27.
At least. And we got heat for having Chris Carson too low in the calculator. We got heat for Chris Carson too low in rankings and so on and so forth. Listen, I love Chris Carson. I love the way he plays. There's two things I don't like. Three things I don't like. Four things I don't like.
What are they?
One is I don't like the Seahawks. They aren't loyal to one guy long term. They're basically the Patriots West. Okay, so that's one. Two, I don't like his injury history. Three, I don't like his fumble problems. Like he fumbles every week, which is an issue. That's doghouse city. Like if he was on the Patriots, he wouldn't be playing at all. And four, I don't like his draft capital. Technically, I can add a fifth, and I can say that Rashad Penny still has first round draft capital. So there are so many red flags. What you're trying to do in Dynasty is you're trying to avoid equity loss and you're trying to find equity gain. So you're trying to find opportunities to gain equity and all while selling away equity loss before it happens. So for me, I look at Chris Carson every single week of this season was you rolling the dice on potential equity lost. Now, with Rashad Penny's game, we could be looking at week 13 where Penny goes back to having three carries or two carries and Carson's the workhorse. But Chris Carson's value is going to fluctuate significantly on a week-to-week basis when things like this happen because he doesn't have a very strong, what do we always call it? What do we refer to it as? Value insulation, right? He doesn't have value insulation. So people are going to be very hot and cold with him on a week-to-week basis because there's not enough behind Chris Carson's name for you to feel insulated. So for me, he's always been a sell while he's getting the work that he's getting, because it's inevitable that he's going to have fumble problems and injury, draft capital issues in the Seahawks. Like, the Seahawks are a team that you try to stay away from, in my opinion. Like, they give a guy carries, but it's not loyal long term. So I've always viewed Chris Carson as a ticking time bomb. I've mentioned ticking time bombs several times on the podcast. Chris Carson is one of those players. Now, whether this week actually changes anything moving forward or not, the fact that it's potentially in the back of our minds is enough for me to sell the idea of Chris Carson. Now, if you've held on to Chris Carson this long, you can't necessarily move him. If you are not, and this is going to be part of our topic here in a little bit, if you are not a contending team and you own Chris Carson, you need to move him for whatever you can get before the end of the season.
I think you gotta. I agree. Like, in you might have to hang out. Like, if you have a trade deadline that's about to come up, I know we talked about this a little bit before the podcast. There's probably a lot of trade deadlines that have passed, but maybe some that are still coming. If you have enough, if you have the cushion of time, I don't know that selling him this week is probably wise.
What if your trade deadline's this week? Because a lot of them are.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If your trade deadline's this week, and you absolutely feel like you have to sell now, then you're definitely going to be taking a loss for sure. I don't know if I could do that.
What would you do with him?
I'm like, he's a hold unless you can get, like, what's the Mendoza line for you for selling? Like, I wouldn't sell him for like a mid second or something. I would want more than that, or just hold on to him.
Yeah, I would hold on for a mid second. I would sell for, before this week, you could have gotten probably a mid first for Chris Carson and you should have jumped all over that. I would take any first, I don't care what it is. And at this point, I would target a second and a player that I really like that's under the radar for Chris Carson. Now, it's not ideal, but with the incoming class and the potential there, it's pretty deep. You can still get a pretty damn good player in the early second, or even mid-second, and then you got, you know, that player that you really like in your back pocket. But, like, if, for me, I just don't – I'm not digging it. There could be – it is in the range of possibilities where Chris Carson is the running back week 13 to week 17, and then he's a starter again next year. Yes. But I feel like we've seen this movie before with players, and I'm not watching this movie again. Like, I'm going to go watch a different movie.
Is it because it's an anime? You just don't like anime.
This is kind of an anime. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, it's a difficult decision though. So, like, if you're up in a corner and you got to make a deal, then yeah, I'm with you on all that. That's a good valuation. So,
I mean, how many fumbles is this on the season? He fumbled twice today. Yeah. He's got to be up to 8, right? At least.
Yeah. That sucks. He's got the hands of Adrian Peterson, but unfortunately not quite as skilled in the run game. That's what afforded Adrian Peterson the luxury, you know, and obviously the draft capital, but that's too bad. It's unfortunate for him, you know, it's a tough break.
Yeah. And do any of us dislike Chris Carson's game?
Outside of the fumbling, no.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, there's not many situations, and credit to, you know, I mentioned Seattle Seahawks and how frustrating they are, but they've been very loyal considering his fumble problems. But that kind of proves how well he fits into what they're trying to accomplish, which is a big, you know, 6 foot, 225 pound back. They like that style. It's good with Russell Wilson, what they're trying to accomplish. But I can't imagine them continuing to deal with multiple fumbles on a weekly basis, whatever the case may be. So I don't know. Maybe you do hold on to him. If you can't get a first, I'll agree with you, Hurley. If you can't get a first, you roll the dice, you hang on to him through the end of the year, and hopefully he finishes strong. And you can move him, I guess. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe he lands somewhere else. Who knows?
Why would he land somewhere else?
Who knows? Like, maybe they'll just feel confident enough in Rashad Penny, whatever else they do in the offseason. Maybe they'll just part ways.
Yeah. I mean, you could sell the idea to a contending team and say, hey, listen, you know, week 15 and 16, you're playing the Panthers, who are bottom five in the NFL in run defense, and then you're playing the Cardinals, who have been leaky against the run defense as well. And if you can sell them on the idea of having Chris Carson, maybe you can get a first for him. And I would be comfortable selling for that. I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah, I agree. And to elaborate on the potentially parting ways talk, Chris Carson just makes peanuts. I hope he can hold it together long enough to get a payday, because that's a guy that deserves it, you know. Next year he's set to make $735K. So like the Seahawks have very, very little invested in him, and they could easily, I suppose they could bury him unless like he would command or demand like a trade or something, but
no, but it's not necessarily that. It's next year or even the rest of the year. What happens if it's a 50-50 workload? Then you're not really.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not getting a lot of consistency out of Chris Carson. You're going to be touchdown dependent. Penny's probably getting a lot of the work in the receiving game. And then you've lost complete first round value out of Chris Carson.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a well-rounded take on that. I think that's good for Penny for your thoughts. Well, actually, really quick, what would you say that, like, if you're a Penny owner, are you selling or holding, anticipating a repeat of this performance, or what are you doing with your Penny shares? That's your Penny stocks.
I feel like with Penny, you've held on this long, it doesn't make sense to just bail right now. I think you roll the dice and see how it plays out.
Wait and see. I like that.
Because as Chris Carson, I don't think his value is going to, has any potential to skyrocket. Like, Chris Carson is what he is, and people understand his red flags and the limitations, and there's always going to be enough concern there to where they're not going to pay the piper. But yeah, with Penny, he's still sexy enough and exciting enough and unknown enough to where if he does take the job or is the 70-30 favorite for the work every week, and he goes into Carolina and goes into Arizona and has monster games and the season ends, you can ship him off for a first-round pick guaranteed before they even face the San Francisco 49ers in Week 17 and before they even go into Week 1 next year, so, or into the draft. So I would say with Penny, I'm holding, I'm rolling the dice and seeing what happens the next few weeks.
That's true, and it's easy to forget that Penny was a former first-round draft pick, was he not?
Yes, he was.
So that's, the team's got some significance invested in him, so I could see them holding out on hope for that, too, so that could be another thing in their minds, but... The bottom line is the Seahawks have always operated under Pete Carroll in the idea that they're just going to give the ball to whoever is the most skilled and talented and gives them the best chance to win. So whether that's Penny or Carson remains to be seen, I guess. So that's pretty good. Moving on, we have another topic at the top of the hour here. Running backs whose jobs are at risk. This is an interesting one. John Mosier, our producer, brought this up pre-podcast that he thought that it'd be compelling to talk about this because this is the point of the season where you want to start scouting that out before your trade deadline. This is at the point where you kind of understand, you got a pretty clear view of the playoff teams and who are not contending. So you might want to start targeting some of these guys or preparing yourselves for these things to be happening in the offseason. So Izzy, maybe I'll start with you. Are there any glaring running backs that stand to lose their job like any more than others? I've got a couple teams written down. I can serve some to you and you want to weigh in them, or you can bring up your own, whichever way you want.
Yeah, there's the obvious ones that I don't think anybody's necessarily denying that those, like, for instance, Miami, there's no way they're not bringing in running back. I look at Atlanta, I don't think there's any way they're not bringing in running back. Is there anybody, like, what are your top that you've written down?
I've got Dolphins, Texans. Texans could be hit or miss. I mean, I could see them, maybe they're kind of happy with Hyde, but it's kind of, I could see them bringing somebody in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like in the draft. Chargers, I think Melvin Gordon is pretty obviously gone. Yep. And Austin Eckler, great, but I don't think he's meant to be a full-time running back. I think anybody would say that. I mean, he was effective as one, but I think the Chargers are going to want to bolster that early down running back. Chiefs, I think that's an obvious one too, right? I don't think that they're going to, unless you think that they've renewed faith in Damian Williams.
Nope.
Okay. And then I've got, right. I wrote the Cardinals and I scratched it off because I remember David Johnson's contract. So,
and he's got a fat contract.
Yeah. He's got a big old payday coming. So that'd be really hard for them to move on. And they just brought in some help with, Drake, and maybe they're happy with Drake. Who knows? This is going to be an interesting situation to monitor next year.
Yeah. What's the biggest issue in Dynasty is that the teams have all figured out that running backs don't matter. Like they know that, unless you're Christian McCaffrey. He's probably the only running back that actually matters.
Yeah.
But the issue that the Dynasty teams are going to face is that teams are now drafting very viable running backs in the third and fourth round of drafts. So they're not spending big draft capital on them. They're bringing in these guys and they're creating these committees, or they're just players to, they're filling roles and they're not giving a lot. There's not a lot of full-time backs. Like there are, but there's only like six or seven that you feel really confident in moving forward. So what you're going to have next year with the incoming class is that you're going to have an influx of talent. But there's going to be a lot of viable players that are being doubled up. So what I mean by that is there's going to be teams like, let's consider, look at Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Like there's going to be a lot of that BS where you're not getting Penny and Carson. They're just going to create more and more of that. So if you're sitting on, and this is my concern with like Leonard Fournette and Derrick Henry, if you're sitting on these guys, and I love Derrick Henry, but there is absolutely no way he's not getting company next year and losing snaps. There's no way Leonard Fournette is not losing snaps next year. There is no way that a guy like, you know, I know they brought in Justice Hill, but I think the Ravens probably spend some draft capital on another running back. Just the amount of, you agree with that?
Yeah, Ingram turns 30 in a couple of weeks, by the way, just a side note.
Yeah, look at Kamara, right? Ingram is gone. We thought, okay, Latavius Murray isn't that big of a concern to his workload. He's probably going to have more attempts than he had last year, so on and so forth. But has really much changed with Kamara? Not all that much. And Latavius Murray has been a viable player.
Yeah,
so
really viable.
I honestly think that we're going to have more and more issue with this here in the next couple classes, because even 2021, the running back class isn't that bad. So there is a lot of talent, but there isn't a lot of elite talent to where you're getting guys like McCaffrey and Barkley, and really, where does it end? Maybe Zeke. I mean, Zeke is a full-time guy. Who else is a full-time guy long-term? Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, if you're getting 20 carries, I consider that full-time. Like, who are the guys that are guaranteeing 300-plus touches? And I think there's a handful of them, and then the rest is a shit show, basically.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you mentioned the Niners, did you?
No, I didn't. But I can see them bringing somebody in because they like the way that they play with Mostert and Wilson and Coleman, and they've had McKinnon. Like, they're bringing in four or five guys every.
It seems like it's because they have to, though. Don't you think it's they've tried to find the guy and everyone keeps getting injured or disappointing?
And I don't disagree. I would not be surprised if San Francisco drafted a running back, mainly because I think Braid is a really good running back, but he hasn't been able to prove that he can stay healthy. Like, so that whole idea of having Coleman and Mostert and Breda and having them all stay healthy, like you said, I mean, Mostert broke his arm last year and he got nicked up again this year. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they drafted a running back.
It'll be interesting. Are there any other running backs that are kind of that stand out to you, Izzy, that you think could be an option to lose their job in the offseason? I think we're gonna there will always be the outlier surprises.
I think the biggest one that people probably ignore is I don't see any way the Jets don't draft a running back. Lev Bell hasn't been that good at all. And I know they gave him a fat contract, but he hasn't fit the bill, in my opinion. Like, he's been good in the past game. He's kept drives alive and so on and so forth.
He plays for the Jets, not the Bills.
Did I say the Bills?
You said fit the bill, so I was just...
fit the bill.
Yeah, making sure that you... Nice. Fit the Jet.
Yeah, it doesn't fit the Jet. He definitely doesn't fit the Jet. But he's going to be 28, you know, and that's another guy. Like, if I'm moving Lev Bell before the deadline, if I can.
I think you missed the window. Like, the window was the first 4 or 5 weeks when he was still like a top 5-ish, 6 running back. And now he's really tapered and people are becoming concerned because Darnold's back and he's just not doing it.
Yeah, and I don't see any way him going into age 28 season, I don't see any way that he can actually recoup value from what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
And here's Jamal Williams getting, he's so bad. You're not watching this game, are you?
No, we don't watch the game. Yeah, it's distracting. We're recording a podcast.
I'm just telling you guys, Jamal Williams is really bad.
If you every care. Time you say that, though, he goes off and he scores.
Well, he's not going off. He's losing yardage every time he touches the ball.
Every time you see that, Packer gets its cheese.
Yeah. Anywho.
I want to talk about DJ because I want to know what side of the camp you guys fall on that, you know, these guys thinking DJ is going to lose his job next year to Chase Edmonds. Please tell me you're not that gullible.
That what? Chase Edmonds is the guy?
Next year.
No. Here's the big issue. Is that they already have a mega contract into DJ.
Mm-hmm. One more year.
Yeah, one more year. I don't think they can really go into the draft and acquire another running back. Like, they have Drake. I mean, Drake's obviously, unless they re-sign him, which I don't think they do. I think they're going to roll with DJ and Chase Edmonds next year.
I agree.
I don't see any reason for them to draft. They have so many needs.
Both
offensively and defensively, that they're not going to waste draft capital on a running back. But I kind of thought the same thing about the Rams, you know, and they went ahead and drafted Darrell Henderson in the third. So there's that.
I think they're still a year away, but you're right. Another wide receiver would be nice, but they gotta fix that defense. It's in shambles from what it used to be not too long ago.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I found it. There was a. Did you guys see that David Johnson tweet the other day? It was a really interesting one, talking about his college workload that potentially could be contributing to his pro decline. He had well over 1,000 touches in college, and a lot of people are speculating that maybe that was part of the reason that he's kind of breaking down a little bit. Because it's concerning to me that he's not on injury reports, but he's losing timeshare to other running backs in the system that are, you know, equally healthy.
He's hurt. He's trying to play. They're testing him out. If he's not 100%, they're not risking him. They know they have nothing to gain. They know he's got a lot of miles. They know he's got a big contract.
Right.
They're
saving him.
They're playing the long game. Yeah. They're saving for next year. So the issue with DJ in Dynasty isn't the fact that he's lost his value. That's a big problem. The biggest problem to me is I don't think he can recoup anywhere near the value that he had before the season, regardless of how he comes out and plays next year. There's always going to be the fear factor with him. Yeah. So that's the bad part with DJ. But I do think that he's going to be the guy next year. I'm guessing they're letting him just get better and they're going to try to reset next year.
Amen, brother.
I mean, if you're the Cardinals, what sense does it make to roll out a guy that's been banged up out on the field and giving him 20 touches, like in a completely lost season? What's the upside?
Yeah.
And if he goes out and tears an ACL or breaks a foot or whatever, and now you got to deal with a long recovery, and that money that you invested into this guy has now been flushed down the toilet for yet another year. So I think people are getting a little overzealous on DJ is done. He's being replaced. Kenyon Drake's the future. Chase Edmonds the future. No, they still paid this guy big money. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I saw an overwhelming poll on Twitter saying that he's worth like either a third or a fourth. And I'm just like, please, please stop. This needs to end. Stop just auto-clicking what you see on Twitter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Okay.
Izzy, do you want to hear, this is probably going to sound a little bit wild to you at first, but do you want to hear my player comp for David Johnson at this point in his career? Herschel Jr. Walker, same type of thing. Like, he had some injuries in the middle part of his career, but he kind of tapered off a little bit in this a similar way that David Johnson did. It could be because he was worn and torn from his college days. We don't know what the reason is, but then after his trade, he was picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles and he was rejuvenated again. He actually went over 1,000 yards. He had the season before that, he had double digit touchdowns. That was with Minnesota. And he had 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he had 38 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 278 yards to go along with it in the receiving game. But I could see David Johnson being on that Herschel Walker arc where he's going to have a couple down seasons, which he's already kind of gone through. And I could see him bouncing back in a significant way because there's no denying that he's a talented guy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Herschel Walker, can you imagine a team making a trade like that for any running back in the league?
Oh my God. Like, what was it, like three firsts?
It was stupid. It was like, I think it was an entire draft.
My God. It was multiple drafts throughout the course of many years. But again, to answer your question, I cannot imagine something like that ever happening again, especially for just a running back. Now that you said it, you know, running backs just don't matter.
Yeah, they don't. So, I mean, if you're not in the playoffs and you're sitting on running backs, the safest thing to do is just try to get, even if they're good running backs, just trying to acquire a first, and just using the equity that you have right now and shifting it to a safer asset, which is a draft pick. Because at the end of the day, you can watch the NFL draft, see where players go, and then from there, if you don't want the draft pick and you want something more guaranteed that you've seen play, you can then trade said draft pick for a player that hasn't received company. For example, you know I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan. I own Derrick Henry. I am trying to move him in the leagues that I'm either tanking on or I'm going to miss the playoffs. So for me, I'm going to try to trade Derrick Henry for the most I can get now and try to get draft picks. And if the draft rolls around and Derrick Henry gets company, and it's, let's say it's a pass catching back, he will lose value just because it's a new face and it's not Deion Lewis. And I can acquire him for cheaper if I wanted to, or I can take that draft pick that I received and find another player that either A, didn't receive company, or a player that I like more. So I think it's the safest and smartest thing to do. I mean, you can't use Derrick Henry the next 4 weeks. And the only thing that can happen for Derrick Henry in the next 9 months is loss of some sort of role and playing time. So,
wow, you were really pessimistic on Derrick Henry. I didn't know this.
No, I'm pessimistic on any running back that isn't a highly paid, highly drafted, highly productive in all facets of the game running back.
I think after this week, Derrick Henry is flirting with the top five rushing.
Dude, I love Derrick Henry. I'm not denying that. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't go acquire Derrick Henry in 7 months. But I want to see.
But you don't consider him highly productive, though? That was one of your stipulations.
No, I'm saying it has to be all of those.
Oh, all of those. Wow. Yes. Okay.
All of those.
I thought you were
together.
Saying or.
Yeah. Which is why, like, I think there's only a handful that I'm not afraid of.
And what was he, a third rounder? I can't remember.
He was second.
Second. Yeah. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but Derrick Henry isn't a plus plus in the passing game, which is an issue.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if he was, like, good enough to be Nick Chubb or Leonard Fournette, where they're not, like, dominant in the passing game, but they're just good enough.
They make up for it everywhere
else. Yeah, I'm okay. And I think Leonard Fournette is one guy that gets company only because of there's been a lot of history with him with the Jags, and he's hasn't had the most sterling of reputation in terms of staying healthy and having a good reputation with the team. So I can definitely see them spending some draft capital on a running back.
Well, so I'm a little bit shocked. So usually you're right about these things, especially when it's a guy that you are high on to begin with. So it would take you a lot to actually have that opinion of him. I'm still not convinced. I'm more optimistic with Derrick Henry just because I've seen his high level of production over the course of the last few weeks. Maybe he can maintain that. He's definitely a second half of the season guy. So we'll see. I mean, there's more to come this season.
Dude,
he's
a monster.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He is a big boy who can run.
Quick question. When you were looking at that list of running backs with high college workloads, is there anybody that you're concerned about on that list?
Let me pull it up. You want me to read it off to you?
Sure.
Okay, so I elaborated on the tweet, and I kind of went into the whole Herschel Walker thing. There were some outliers. Maybe what I'll do is I'll read the original tweet first, and then I'll give you my outliers. So he cited players like, on the good side of this, like Todd Gurley only had 575 in college, but that's not really factoring into what he's doing right now, really. Geis only 503. These are some of the lower end ones. Chris Carson only 243. Obviously, he only had a part of a season or whatever. Alvin Kamara 284. So that was kind of a shocker.
Yep.
And then again, David Johnson over 1,000. He had 1,007. Other players that I might be concerned with.
Christian McCaffrey's got to be up there.
I don't know that he, because he was pretty sporadic with who he put on here. C-McC, 731.
Okay. It's a lot, yeah.
Saquon, 773. Delvin Cook, 766. Nick Chubb, 789. I was surprised with Nick Chubb because he missed like an entire season, didn't he?
Yeah, with the injury, yeah.
So he might have been a guy flirting with 1,000.
He didn't miss an entire season. He came back He came back in time to play. Like, so yeah. There wasn't any season that he completely missed.
Philip Lindsay, 882. And here's where I'm getting at. This is a pretty common tweet, like a quoted tweet on the bottom comment. Some people are expressing some concern for Jonathan Taylor because he's on pace for well over 1,000. Let me see if I can have his specific. Oh, yeah. Royce Freeman, 1,026. Oh, Jonathan Taylor's at 875, and he had like 35 more that night. So he's going to be pushing 1,000 by the end of the season. So it was.
So are you concerned about him?
He's over 900, and it's. I mean, according to this, the theme of this, I would be concerned if I'm just using this as my Bible. But again, this is a perfect time to bring up the outlier. So LaDainian Tomlinson.
I was going to ask. Didn't LaDainian have a whole bunch of touches at TCU?
Yeah, extremely productive pro career and 986 touches, pushing 1,000 in college. Thurman Thomas, 1,040 in college. Ricky Williams not only had a productive early part of his career, but when he came back, he was able to maintain his productivity. He had 1,096 in college. And then the biggest one for me was Tony Dorsett, Hall of Famer. You're too young for this one. 1,205 touches in college and had a Hall of Fame pro career. And then, like I said, Herschel Walker, 1,020 touches in college. So for every one of those examples that they gave, like to support the David Johnson breaking down because of high college touches, I found an equal and more impressive outlier on the other side of it. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh, the Bills are also a team that'll draft a running back early.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I like Singletary.
Yeah.
But with Gore being gone, Yeldon being a nothing, they can't go in the amount that they like to run the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way that they don't go in and draft a running back, which is really good to after the season, because Singletary is starting to get some work. So I would use him for the rest of the season, but I would absolutely 100% trade him week 17.
I agree. And like, I just want to say as a disclaimer for this segment, we've been talking about the draft where teams will fulfill needs, but we wouldn't rule out the realm of possibility of a free agent fitting the bill.
Nice.
Like that? Like Melvin Gore, like there's going to be plenty of free agents that are going to be.
Yeah. Where does Melvin go? Yeah.
Yep. Melvin Gordon to Buffalo, a very early prediction.
You think Buffalo?
I don't think so. It's just we were talking about Melvin and Buffalo, so it was an easy connection. I don't really think that though. So that is running backs whose jobs are at risk. This is coincidental because we're going to talk about Devin Singletary in the next portion here. The rookie running back re-rank. So like last week we did the rookie wide receiver re-rank. We thought keep the theme going with the running backs. It's a little bit less interesting. Josh Jacobs is the obvious choice. So we're going to actually leave him off the tab here. And we're going to talk about maybe our next, what do you want to rank, four or five more running backs? Your choice. None of you would say anybody but Josh Jacobs, correct?
No.
So Jacobs 101 and rank your next four. Who wants to start?
Why don't you start?
Well, I went first last week, but I guess I'll start. I will say Miles Sanders. I was hoping that he had a little bit bigger performance this week because I've actually bought in a lot of shares on Miles, but I mean, it's a pretty staunch run defense, so I'm not really overly surprised that he didn't do a ton. Looking at the schedule, he finishes off his season with 4 of 5 games against bottom 10 run defenses, including the Dolphins at 29. So something to be excited about for Miles Sanders to finish the season. I don't know that the Eagles are going to keep Jordan Howard around. I think they like him. So I think it's going to depend on how this finishes up. But I like Miles right now a lot. And for the foreseeable future. So Miles would be my 102 behind Josh Jacobs. And then it's kind of a real toss-up. The next tier would be David Montgomery and Singletary. Oh, and I just haven't really seen what I want to see out of Montgomery. I think that Montgomery gets the kick for value because Singletary just isn't quite there yet with Gore sharing some carries. So I'd probably say Montgomery for value, Singletary would be probably my choice for preference. If I'm having to keep one of them, I might actually say Singletary, despite you think he's going to get company. I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to go Sanders, Singletary, Montgomery. And then for my fourth, it's a complete crapshoot between Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard, and Justice Hill. I might just say Justice because I believe in the Mark Ingram 30-year-old running back cliff. How about that? So that's mine. That's my four.
Okay. I would go Sanders as well. Only because, mainly because he's more explosive than Singletary and Montgomery, and he's got more just pop to his name, and people get more excited. Yeah, but people get more excited hearing Miles Sanders than they do anything else, even if he isn't producing. Like, he's just got that oomph to his name. So I like that. And obviously, he was my top running back prospect coming out. So I would have him at 2. I would also have Singletary at 3. No, and the reason why is that from a draft capital perspective, him and Montgomery are the same. Like, they're both drafted in the 3rd. And I just look at the Bills, despite me thinking they're going to bring somebody in, they already have somebody with Tariq Cohen with Montgomery that's eating into his touches and efficiency and so on and so forth. So, not efficiency, volume. So I'm looking at Singletary and saying, okay, I'm getting a guy that's averaging over 6 yards a clip on a team that has just a better cohesion, looks to be better suited. They have an identity moving forward. I don't think the Bears have an identity. They haven't looked good. Montgomery hasn't looked good behind the line. They have a lot to fix, where the Bills are more, you know, turnkey. They're ready to go. And I like that. So I think he's 103. You can make an argument for having him ahead of Miles Sanders. I wouldn't say no. And then at 104, I'll take 104 because I'll take Montgomery. I'll just put Montgomery there. Yep. And then at 105, I'm still going, and I wasn't a big fan of this guy pre-draft, but I'm going Henderson. And the reason why I'm going Henderson over Pollard and Madison is, even though I like Pollard and Madison more and I think they're better, they have to jump Dalvin Cook and Zeke, which is going to be harder to do than Henderson is to jump Brown and Gurley.
Yeah.
Next year.
Well,
so
okay.
Yeah, and you can make a case. Malcolm Brown, I think, is kind of a fraud. Like, I don't think Henderson is great.
You heard it here, Malcolm Brown, you fraud.
Well, and in terms of fraud, of saying people are thinking if Gurley goes down, Malcolm Brown is the guy. Like, that was a thing. It was funny. Initially, it was, if Gurley goes down, Henderson's the guy. And then that kind of shifted to being Malcolm Brown's the guy, and he actually was the guy. But now I think if Gurley gets hurt again, it's not going to be Malcolm Brown. I think it's going to be Darrell Henderson. He just looks to have significantly more pop than Malcolm Brown does. So I view Henderson being able to get the job. It's going to be a lot easier for him to get the job than it will be for Pollard or Madison. And I will have Pollard is very close, because as you've heard me say on the pod before, Zeke to me is an all-time sell. Like, you're getting him as a top 5 dynasty player. You're moving on from him. And he's fat and happy with a new contract. He's got the off-the-field stuff. It's now time to move on with him. And you have Tony Pollard, who's actually looked really good. There is a good chance there could be some Tony Pollard sighting next year, significantly more than we've seen this year. So, yeah, I think Tony Pollard's a great buy right now in Dynasty.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you just further proved the fact that after that, you know, top 4 guys, it's a full crapshoot in this rookie class.
Yeah, it is tough.
And I like the Henderson twist. You're kind of sticking to your guns. You're going with the college talent, the guy that you observed.
No,
was...
I didn't like Henderson coming out.
Yeah, but he was more highly regarded than these other Pollard and Madison. You know,
yes,
coming out of school. So
yep.
So that's pretty good. That, like, again, not anything overly interesting. We all had the same 102 Sanders, 103 Singletary, 104 Montgomery. And just a mixed bag of 105s, Justice Hill, Alexander Madison, and then Henderson. So very interesting. So that's a good spot to stop for that. We've got one more segment. We're kind of getting short on time, so we're going to go through it a little bit more quickly than usual. But it's time for Dynasty Trade Wars, starring John Mosier. Mosier, you want to give a quick rundown of what this is about?
Yes, sir. So I'm going to present 5 trades from Twitter. These will all have at least one running back in them, to stick with the theme. We do have a tiebreaker in case we need it. The object of this game is for you guys to figure out what you think Twitter's thinking at the moment. I'll give you the timestamp of the poll itself, and you'll pick a side.
And if Izzy and I both get it wrong, Mosier gets a point. Sometimes there's a 50-50 in there. Sometimes Mosier gets kind of tricky. And we would encourage you guys to play along at home, too, and keep track of your score. See if you can get that the coveted perfect week.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's kick it off. Number 1 This is November 20th. This is a PPR dynasty. That's all we know, okay?
Dynasty.
And it's going to be at a 2-1. On one side, we've got Keenan Allen, and we've got Geis. And on the other side is Tyreek Hill.
Izzy, once again, you have honors.
I'm going to go Tyreek.
Oh, damn. We're going to have something interesting here. So no team size or anything. Dang it. Keenan, Geis, or Tyreek? Geis coming off a decent performance in his first game back. I believe he scored a long receiving touchdown. That might have enough guys excited about him on Twitter. Twitter is super recency bias. I'm going to go Geis and Keenan because Tyreek's been injured and Geis came out pretty hot.
Okay. So one for each?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be comfortably Tyreek. I'm going to say 58%. Lock it in.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I like how you're throwing a little extra juice behind yours. I wonder if I should give you a bonus.
I like bonuses.
If you're right. Okay. Maybe not this game, but
That's a good idea. That'd be a fun additional rule. So obviously it's Tyreek then.
When you want to, like, it's a double down, right?
Yeah.
It's just like blackjack. Okay. All right. So after 106 votes, it is the Tyreek side. But it's 60%.
Wow.
Jeez, man. Wow. I'm playing from behind again. Famous last words.
Just the way you like it, Trebek.
All right. Number two, it is another 2-1. The context is a half PPR 10 team dynasty. On one side by himself is Juju Smith-Schuster against Aaron Jones and a 2020 second.
Wow.
Wow, wow. Wow, wow, wee, wow. So this is me first.
I'm glad you're going first because I wouldn't want to go first on this one.
I'm going to go Juju.
When was this poll?
November 20th.
They're all November 20th.
Okay. No, no, they're not all.
Okay, okay. Juju's lost a lot of value, and Aaron Jones coming off of... I'm debating if I want to get greedy here. I don't think Aaron Jones has done enough, and I think enough people like Juju. So I'm going to and Aaron Jones was also on bye last week. So when people are on bye, they tend to lose value. So I'm going Juju. And I actually think it's going to be a lot more comfortable than I think. 61%.
Yeah. That's good logic. I actually like that. All right. Final answer?
Yep.
So we got two on the Juju. After 156 votes, it is the Aaron Jones side.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mo gets a point. Hey. Mo is tied for the lead.
What was the percentage on that?
That's 54% for the package.
Wow, Juju's lost that much value. Holy shit.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I think it's an indictment on Juju. Yeah.
I remember so many people drafting Juju as the wide receiver one. And now you can't even get Aaron.
Well, without Big Ben, I mean, come on. Like, let's not.
I know, but okay, that's fine. But Big Ben isn't dead. He's coming back next year.
He's coming back next year. But, like, so much of people's value has like, the current season baked in, too. Like, we know that.
Yeah, but if he was the wide receiver one, how long were you getting Big Ben anyway? So you're believing in the talent. You're not believing in just Big Ben.
I think plenty of time. Big Ben, before his injury, was probably sitting, like, had a 3 to 4 year window.
He threatened to retire 6 years in a row.
Yeah, that was gamesmanship to try to build a bigger contract. That was leverage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. I talked to him.
Okay.
Right on. Okay.
Mo gets a point.
So cool. Right. Yeah. 1-1-0. Number three. This is a 1-1 trade. It was tweeted out November 22nd. Does Twitter want Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook?
Izzy has honors.
Dalvin.
Damn it. I'm going to say Dalvin, too.
Dalvin's
just so much more sexy right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree. He's having a better season. He's new. I think a lot of people hate the Cowboys, too.
Yeah.
Dalvin is far more likable, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Okay, so two for Dalvin, zero for Zeke.
Yep.
All right. After 136 votes, you both are correct. Mm-hmm. 58%.
Nice. Two for Izzy, one for Hurley and Mo.
Okay. Number four. Reason through these.
Number four.
Context for this one's 12-team PPR Superflex, and it's 2-1. On one side, Kerryon Johnson and the 206. Not sure how they know that already, but maybe they do. or Keenan Allen.
Is this one? When was it tweeted?
The 23rd.
23rd, so yesterday. Post-Kerryon injury. 12-team PPR Superflex. It's going to bump that pick up a bit. God dang. I'm going to go Keenan because of recency bias. Go ahead, Izzy.
Yeah, it's Keenan.
Mm-hmm. Pretty definitive. All right.
Yeah, Karen, with injury, when players get hurt, people just click the other player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Chargers shit the bed on Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very good. After 79 votes, it is the Keenan Allen side.
It's got to be pretty it's got to be over 60%.
It is only 53%.
Wow.
Wow. 2-3-1. Final question. Come on, baby.
All right. So I'm eliminated.
Last week went into the tiebreaker. I hope you got another one loaded up.
I do have one. Mm-hmm. Okay. This one is we have no context. Would you rather have Patrick Laird or Royce Freeman?
And please tell us when it was tweeted.
20 hours ago.
This is ridiculous, by the way, but I know it's actually going to be a difficult one. Go ahead, Izzy.
Yeah, this is stupid. It's got to be Royce Freeman. I mean, I know Patrick Laird's got this like crazy, like weird hype train, thanks to Peter Overzet, but
that's like basically all of Peter's.
All of it. Yeah. But I'm going Royce.
I love that guy.
Laird.
You're going Laird, okay, just because you have to. Yeah. All right.
I have to, yeah, whatever. I would pick Royce otherwise, but.
Would you? Well.
Dude, if it's Laird, his reach is so powerful that I'd be impressed.
Let's do a percentage. What do you say?
Yeah, Royce in the 60s. 65 Royce. 65 Rolls Royce.
I'm going to say it's closer because Royce isn't getting anybody that excited. I'm going to say 55%.
All right. Very astute. After 123 votes, it is Royce Freeman, 51%, though.
Oh, wow. I could have won there. 2% shift.
I gave you a window.
No, you gave me no window. Like, there's no way that should have been. I would have never picked that Laird side. I'm impressed that it was that close.
Royce Freeman over Laird?
Yeah, I'm impressed it was that close. If that was a 51% for Laird, that would have been like you were throwing me a lifeline there.
Oh, to try and trick Izzy?
Because it was so obviously Royce. The fact that it was close is kind of surprising, but like it's still Royce, you know, like that gave Izzy an easy choice. So,
basically you gave me the win again. Job. Well, you're going to have to, you should probably change it up because I've won, like, what is this, 12 in a row now? So it's.
I don't even think we've done 12 total, let alone 12 in a row. And I won the first 4 in a row, by the way, if you don't remember.
I told you, remember? I let you win.
Oh, that's, you let me win. Okay.
You remember your little brother that you let win so he doesn't, like, throw the controller across the room or throw it at the TV?
Yeah, except for that. I'm much larger and older than you. But, yeah, I'm totally your little brother for sure.
Just getting angry.
That's all we've got for this week's edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll join us again next week. Maybe we'll do like a quarterback or a tight end podcast, right? Should we do something like that?
Can we do an all game podcast next week?
An all game? Just like play the game on the podcast?
Like just know like a different, let's do the trade wars, but let's do more games.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Next week's podcast is an all game podcast. So tune in.
All right, I got a challenge though. Izzy has yet to come up with a game. I think you got to make us a game.
That's true. Yep. Okay, it's going to be Izzy's Games, or what we'll call it, including Dynasty Trade Wars, which was one of mine.
Can we call it Wicked Games and play Wicked Games the entire time in the background?
Oh, Wicked Games. I like that. Yeah, that's a sweet song too. Anyway, join us next week for Wicked Games. It should be a lot of fun. So until then, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another tray for Sunday. Ay, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponent's gonna call and cut cakes in. It's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than OD anatomy.